One of the most beautiful of the millennial scriptures can be found in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah. There are many such millennial scriptures, but Isaiah 35 in particular has a scripture that's going to pick up on the theme that we heard in the first message today, as well as the opening night. If you would look at Isaiah 35 and begin in verse 5, Isaiah 35, verse 5, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing." Just pause for a moment and think about the implications of what this is saying. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the crippled man or woman will leap, and the mute will speak. Can you imagine millions and millions of those men, women, and children being able to see for the very first time? To see the face of their parents, of their child, their husband or wife? To see the blue sky and the green grass? What a thrill that's going to be. What about those who for the first time will hear? To hear music, to hear Bach or Debussy or maybe even the Beatles. For the first time, to hear the sound of a bird singing, of a rushing creek. What about those who have to sit in wheelchairs? Or those who are bedfast day after day after day? You think they will have some joy at being released from this bondage that they are in? Instead of watching life from the fringes, they'll be in the thick of things. What a profound blessing of God's mercy lies ahead. Unfortunately, the kingdom of God isn't here yet. And these scriptures remain to be fulfilled. And millions are still afflicted by all sorts of handicaps, perhaps more than you would even think. According to the World Health Organization, 1.3 billion people are afflicted by some form of blindness or visual impairment. Those of you that wear these things know what I'm talking about. If you don't have the glasses, I can't see what I'm reading here. We all experience that, to have to wear glasses or have a visual impairment beyond that. This is 17% of the world's population. 17% of the world's population. Another 466 million people have a disabling deafness or hearing loss. That includes all of us that wear these little hearing aids to be able to hear it clearer. About 200 million have an intellectual disability, either through disease or some accident or from birth. That's about 2.6% of the world's population. And 73 million people need a wheelchair on a daily basis. That's just under 1%. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be blind? To be deaf? If you couldn't speak? Some children in school get to try that out for a day, for a week. They go in and they're blindfolded all day long or all week long. Or they have earplugs put in and then they have headphones on top of that so you can't hear what's going on. You have a foretaste of what that would be like. It's very disconcerting. It's very frustrating to those who have to roll around in a wheelchair when you're not used to it. That experience, however, is missing one key ingredient: the unalterable permanence for those for whom it is a way of life. You're blind every day. You can't hear every day. You're stuck in that wheelchair every day. We can't really understand that without having walked, so to speak, in that person's shoes. Many people are able to gain a lot of mobility. They're able to do many things. I had a roommate in college when I was an ambassador. It was amazing. He had been blind since he was a young man. He would fearlessly go out and take a series of buses down to Los Angeles from Pasadena, go into their Braille library, come back with all kinds of books, and he was being enthusiastic. He never batted an eye about it. One occasion, he was walking along, recording a fellow student who was one of our co-presidents that year, of the student body, and he didn't quite see the fact that he was close to the edge of the walkway there in Pasadena, where we had the egret pool. And he stiff-legged right down into the pool. He was recording at the same time. He pulled himself up and squished off, squish, squish, squish. Never batted an eye. Garth was an amazing man. Many can rise to fame and prominence. One such person who was truly remarkable was Helen Keller. I want to share a little bit about her story today. Against all odds, Helen Keller became one of the most famous people in the entire world. At the age of 19 months, she suddenly lost her vision and ability to speak. Her hearing was null. It was thought that she was stricken by scarlet fever, but that's not entirely certain. Whatever the disease, Helen, who had not yet learned to speak, found herself unable to hear or to see, and she was growing up in a world of isolation, a very dark existence. As she grew from infancy into childhood, she was a very wild and unruly child. She had very little understanding of the world around her. Her world was entirely self-contained. The only inputs that she had were a sense of touch and taste. At the dinner table, she would taste all of the food with her hands, not very appetizing for her family. She was considered to be uneducatable. The life ahead of her simply looked miserable for herself and her parents. And yet, against overwhelming odds and with a great deal of persistence, she grew into a highly intelligent and sensitive woman who wrote, spoke, and labored incessantly for the betterment of others. She was a powerful symbol of an individual who triumphed over adversity. Helen Keller's new life began on March of 1887. She was just a few months shy of being 7 years old. On that day, which Helen called the most important day I can remember in my life, Anne Mansfield Sullivan came to Tuscumbia, Alabama, to be her teacher. Now, Anne Sullivan was the subject of the movie The Miracle Worker, for those of you that are a little older, perhaps you saw that. She had been a graduate, 20-year-old graduate, of the Perkins School for the Blind. She had been blind herself, but through a series of operations, she had regained her sight. She had come to the Helen Keller's family by way of introduction of none other than Alexander Graham Bell. So from that day that she came until the day she died, she and Helen were inseparable. Helen Keller's miracle worker, Anne Sullivan, began the task of teaching Helen the word, the concept of the word. She brought with her from the Perkins School a little doll, and she would take Helen's hand and spell doll, D-O-L-L. Helen learned quickly to make words, but she didn't know what they were. She couldn't attach that word that she was spelling to the object that she was trying to form that word about. She didn't understand what a doll was. Finally, one day, Anne and Helen were outside, and they walked over to the family pump. You know, you had to pump that water out of the ground. So Anne took Helen's hand and put it under the spout and began to slowly pump the water. And as it flowed onto her hand, she took her hand and spelled W-A-T-E-R. She pumped a little faster. W-A-T-E-R. Faster and faster. And finally, it clicked in Helen's mind. This cool liquid that was flowing over her hand was water. It was a bolt out of the blue for Helen. She quickly pulled away and patted the ground. What is the word for this? By the end of that day, she had learned 30 words and concepts. It was a whole new life. Helen wrote of that moment, she said, "Once I knew only darkness and stillness, like being a blind girl. My life was out past or future. But a little word from the fingers of another fell into my hand that clutched at emptiness, and my heart leaped at the rapture of living." It's a beautiful, beautiful sentiment. Helen's world had changed. And a whole new life opened up for her. She went on to learn to read and write English and Braille. At the Horace Mann School, she even learned to talk. She later entered Radcliffe College, a very prestigious college, and earned her Bachelor of Arts degree, cum laude, in 1904. She became the first blind, deaf person to ever get a college degree. She later learned to read and write in French and German. Also became fluent in Latin. And throughout these years, until her death in 1936, Anne Sullivan was always by Helen's side, laboriously spelling book after book, lecture after lecture, into her pupil's hand. Helen once wrote, "I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish small tasks as if they were great and noble." Yet she received 6 honorary doctor's degrees. She wrote 14 books, was a frequent contributor to magazines and newspapers. She even starred in a silent movie about her own life. She met 12 U.S. presidents, visited 35 countries on 5 continents. Her fame and international prominence was amazing. She lived a very rich and full life. Small tasks, indeed. On June 1st, 1968, she died, just a few days short of her 88th birthday. A life that had been destined for turmoil, suffering, and ruin had been completely turned around by an act of patience, determination, kindness, and love. A miracle of sorts. By one who had called her out of a world of darkness. A world that completely revolved around herself. And for her part, Helen worked very, very hard to make the most of her opportunity. She made a very interesting observation. She said, "All the world is full of suffering. It's also full of overcoming." That's a statement that should ring very true to us. Brethren, if you think about it, we're a lot like Helen Keller, aren't we? We've been called out of a world of darkness, a world without hope, into the light and hope of God's kingdom. We've been called out of this world that was very self-focused into a whole new world of God's kingdom and God's loving labor in our lives to change us, to teach us, to help us to grow. Just like Anne Sullivan labored to help Helen Keller. Very soon, we will be working with Jesus Christ to rebuild a broken planet, to rebuild broken lives, ruling to bring justice and peace to a world that has known neither. Yet there's more than a physical dimension to Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 6. Ask yourself the question, how many in this world are really blind? I'm not talking about the physical sensation of being blind. How many of this world are deaf? Deaf to the Word of God in their very midst. They're not listening. They're not listening to what God is telling us, what God is showing us. There are events going on in this world that should be getting our attention. They're not. How many are handicapped for a lack of knowledge of God's way? Reminds us of Hosea 4:6. My people, God's creation, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge that you have sitting in your laps. The most valuable knowledge on this planet right now. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. This passage is speaking about a redeemed physical nation of Israel. A nation that is being called out of captivity. A captivity that is soon going to be coming on all of Israel. In a sense, it's a microcosm of the world in which we live. A world that is held captive under Satan's influence. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Don't be afraid of your circumstance. I have redeemed you. I have bought you back. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. Nor shall the flames scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. The firstborn of Egypt, remember, died so that Israel could be freed. Ethiopia and Seba in your place, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east, and I will gather you from the west, and I will say to the north, give them up, let my people go. And to the south, do not keep them back. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. God is the creator of all life. And verse 8, bring out the blind people who have eyes to see, but they don't, and deaf, who have ears, who hear, but they don't listen. Bring out those who are not looking at, not listening to the truths of God yet. How many of the world's population fall into this category? About 7.8 billion people, I think. Brethren, we're a small group. In a world that is lost, a world that is blind, that is deaf to God's truth. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And we'll begin in verse 9. Isaiah 11, verse 9. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There's one day going to be, the whole world is going to understand God's way. There will be listening. Not only will physical blindness and deafness be healed, but spiritual blindness will be inexcusable because the knowledge of God's word and this way of life will be well known. Known because of teachers like you. Teachers like you. You're going to be like that miracle worker, Ann Sullivan, bringing someone out of the darkness and despair of a world that doesn't know God, hasn't cared to know God, or in some cases has completely rejected God. That's our job ahead. Our job ahead. Do you think about that as you equip yourself to be a teacher in the world tomorrow? As you study, as you pray to God, are you asking Him to help you be a good teacher, a patient and kind teacher? Do you think about that as you pray? As you meditate on all of this, what is my role? How can I be the person God wants me to be? That teacher, that priest in His kingdom who will lead people out of darkness. When we fast, do we fast to help ask God to help us be that person? That teacher? Are you preparing to be a teacher and ruler with Jesus Christ? You see, this is our job. We're to become just like Him. Wonderful, patient, strong, direct. Jesus pulled no punches because He was certain of what He was saying, certain of what He was doing. In Hebrews 5, verse 11, Hebrews 5, verse 11, the church is given a directive to prepare to be priests and teachers. I'm going to read that to you out of the Phillips edition because I love the way it reads. It's very plain spoken. Hebrews 5, verse 11. There is a great deal that we should like to say about this high priesthood, but it's not easy to explain to you since you seem to be slow to grasp spiritual truth. At a time when you should be teaching others, you need teachers yourselves to repeat to you the ABCs of God's revelation to men. You become those who need milk, and those on a milk diet cannot face solid food. For anyone who continues to live on milk is obviously immature. He is simply not grown up. Solid food is only for an adult. For the man who has developed by experience his power to discriminate between what is good and bad for him. Brethren, let's be preparing ourselves. Fully engaged to be ready to help remove the spiritual blindness of this world. Isaiah 11, verse 6. We all know this scripture very, very well. Isaiah 11, verse 6. Isaiah 11, verse 6. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child will lead them. We know this scripture very well. A world remade, no longer the survival of the fittest, no longer a world based on competition, but a creation at peace and at harmony, where cooperation is the rule of the day. Isaiah chapter 25. Beautiful scripture. Every time I attend a funeral, I think of this scripture. Isaiah 25 and verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. It's going to be gone. and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. Think of all the tears that humanity has cried through the millennia. Cried at the loss of loved ones. Cried at the horror of war or of deprivation. All those tears will be wiped away and they will no longer exist. Our hearts are going to be healed. The hearts of billions will be healed. During the rule of Jesus Christ and the saints, the spiritually blind and deaf and handicapped will no longer be bound in darkness and chains. They will be liberated. Like the blind man that we heard earlier in John 9, verses 1 through 5. They will be healed from their blindness, even though the Pharisees' blindness wasn't healed, was it? They remained blind. They could not see the significance of their own issue. This is the world. The world does not understand that it is blind. The world doesn't understand that it can't hear the Word of God. But you can. What are you doing with what you've been given? Are we making the most of our time? Helen Keller was a diligent student. Every day, she was voraciously taking in the knowledge. Is that what we do? Or do we kind of lazily approach our day? We get up and, well, if I get around to Bible study, it'll happen. If I get around to praying, it'll be okay. Is that the way we approach this precious time that we've been given? Is that who we are? In closing, I want to turn back to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 and verse 5. Let's read through those verses again and expand on them a little bit. Isaiah 35 and verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Not from West Texas, that sounds pretty good. The parched ground shall become a pool. This world will be refashioned. It's going to be remade. And all the people in it will have a new chance. A new chance. And a thirsty land, springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool. You don't know where you're going, but if you're walking on this road, you're not going to get lost. They shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up on it. It shall not be found there. There are no dangers on this highway of holiness. And the ransomed of the Lord, those bought back. This is speaking directly of the captives returning. But it's also figuratively speaking of this world. Bought back. And they shall come to Zion with singing, just like those kids, unabashed, happy, joyful. Even if you don't know the words, you keep your mouth moving. Kids are great. And they shall come with everlasting joy on their heads. Is that how you feel when you walk through your day? You have joy on your head all day long? Are we weighed down with trouble? In God's kingdom, there's no room for that. We'll have joy on our heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Imagine a world, brethren. The blessing of removing all of the spiritual blindness, the handicaps that so afflict this world, and the blindness to God's way of life. As we reflect on the world around us, where so many are suffering from handicaps that they were born with, acquired through disease or an accident, violence, it's hard to imagine a world where those afflicted will be whole again for the first time in their lives. And yet this is a promise, an absolute certainty from God that this is going to happen. And that many will be able to be whole for the first time in their lives. What a tremendous blessing. Let's not forget to contemplate the wonderful promise that Isaiah 35 holds for all of humanity. Peace, prosperity, healing, physically and spiritually. And one day, billions will echo the words of Helen Keller. Once I knew only a world of darkness and stillness. My life was without past or future. But a little word from the finger of another, perhaps from you, perhaps from you, fell into my hand that clutched at emptiness, and my heart leaped at the rapture of living. Helen's world was changed by the efforts of the miracle worker Ann Sullivan. One day, this whole world will be changed by Jesus Christ, who will remove the blindness, the handicaps, both physical and spiritual, of all humanity. They too will leap for joy, leap for the rapture of living God's way, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. What a beautiful scripture, what a beautiful thought, and one day, what a beautiful reality. May God speed the day.